Welcome to Day Zero Update for November 30th, 2025. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Jan Red Victoria.
Yeah, last day of the month, the weekend after Thanksgiving here in the U.S.
Yep.
So we've had plenty of food and a little bit of time off.
Yep.
To do various things, I guess. Play games, enjoy food, and family and friends and all that. So, but news is still kept going in spite of that. I was expecting there to not be much, but there ended up being a lot of stuff. So we got, new subscription stuff for PlayStation Plus and NSO. We got some new things that just came out, some things coming out in the near future. As well as, let's say, an update that Sega's not going to be as scummy with those new versions of Yakuza 0, 1, and 2.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice. We got a bunch of industry news, including the passing of a well-known actor who was going to be in a game, but it seems like that is not going to happen. As well as some industry news of... some bad things happening. Nintendo acquired somebody, and a bunch of other things have been happening as well. So we'll get to that stuff here after we talk about what we've been playing. And I'll start off here, having beaten Power Wash Simulator 2. Really enjoyed it. The ending, the way it ends with the last handful of jobs, does a nice job of wrapping up things. It doesn't get as fantastical as the first game, though it gets a little bit of that. It's just more like, you're dealing with people being extremely shitty and all that. While you're just cleaning up stuff, the way you're interacting with things is a lot more low-key than the things that are going on around you. But you do get some fun jobs there. I'll be working on a review for that here later this week. I've also beaten Ball Pit, which was pretty fun. Basically, you get to the last stage, and the final boss has these pods on it that you have to, finish it with that many new characters to reach the ending. Which is nice, and it's like, hey, we got New Game Plus, and you can also kind of just keep playing, because there is, as I mentioned, a bunch of achievements to this game that I've been working on. I just now, having played a little more earlier today, gotten to just under halfway. I've got 31 of 63 on this, and a lot of them, I think, are for completing every stage with each of the characters, and I think completing each of the stages with every character. So as I'm kind of putting them into it, that stuff shouldn't be too hard to do, and some of these others seem to basically be pretty easy for the most part. I've been using a guide to get all of the combos for evolutions for it, so that it's not too hard. It's just the RNG of having the options show up. But now I have the ability to have five active balls and five passives. And so that makes it a lot easier to get some of these combos and kind of stack those combos and all that. And essentially where I'm at, the two starting characters I pick, their balls are maxed out. And now I'm getting to the point of upgrades with upgrading the next set of things I get. So, and as far as the town building stuff, I'm basically adding or basically building up these buildings that are just basically you can infinitely add, increase these stats as long as you have the money or the materials to upgrade it and all that. So nothing really too complicated there. Though, I'm just fitting it all around, because there's a lot of buildings that have weird little special bonuses they do, of this will harvest stone or wood or wheat that's around it. They have others that are like, oh, you put all the characters around this, they get XP boosts. These other ones will give you coins for every building that's around it. So there's literally just this unsightly mass of buildings that are all just surrounding each other as I try to fit as many of them as I can around them. So that part's kind of a little annoying to do because it's not easy to kind of move that stuff around and parse all the buildings and what they do. Though I think I have figured all that out just by breaking them all up and then putting them back together in the way that seems like it makes the most sense for that. But yeah, I'm trying to fill out all the stuff that I can here, which is going to take time, but I beat it in about like 25 hours, so it's not a super long one of these, especially as you're building up stats and all these little bonus stuff to the point that you're going to finish it if you keep putting the time in. It does not seem to want to make it too hard, unless you want to go through New Game Plus stuff, but I haven't tried any of that yet. But yeah, that's still been a lot of fun. And the last thing, I jumped into Fortnite because my Game Pass was ending, and so one of the perks they have is that you get the Fortnite crew stuff, which got you the Simpsons Season Pass. I only joined in like right at the end, so I didn't get all of it that was in there, but I did get some of the stuff. I have like Marge. They've had like fish characters in the game, so there's one that's Blinky, the three-eyed fish from the early episodes of the show. Mm-hmm. As well as I have a version of the banana peel character that is Frank, Professor Frank, and a bunch of other extra stuff there. Then they had the season-ending event that was pretty neat. It was essentially their version of Avengers Endgame, because they had the big bad kaiju enemy that everybody joins to fight, but it's instanced, so you only see a certain amount of people at a time. But all the brand characters show up. Homer at this point is like a giant. He's giant. He has tidy whities on. That's basically like you begin this event by waking him up. But then like the what is the robot form of the Power Rangers? Megazord?
I think yeah, so.
Yeah.
The big things, yeah, the Zords.
Yeah. So the Megazord that showed up. They had the portals like Doctor Strange does at the big final fight of Endgame. Though not as many of those, just has random characters show up. You get into helicopters to kind of fly over, and it's playing the first song from K-pop Demon Hunters. As the girls are kind of flying the helicopter, it's doing all this stuff. King Kong and Godzilla fight as well. King Kong kind of gets the shit beat out of him by the big squid monster, whatever it is. And then there's like this cube that was a big thing earlier on at some point that shows up, and they use that to defeat the monster. And then everything's saved. You go back to the island, because like the whole thing here is that in the little shorts, you're trying to get to Springfield, while the Fortnite characters want to get to the island, and the whole thing is they get merged into a Springfield Island kind of thing. So they're kind of getting back to their realities, and that involves them kind of literally jumping around to a bunch of alternate reality little things you do for like 5 seconds before it zaps you into a new one. Pretty well done. And all that, and then it ends with them, showing the end of chapter 6 going into chapter 7. So they did the 6-7 thing. That is the hot meme for the kids right now. So it somehow managed to line up perfectly for that reference to get made. Then it seems like the new season is full of AI shit, AI art and all that, which was like, all right, I'm done with Fortnite for the time being. Because a lot of the art seems to be very AI generated. And some of the music that comes with some of the dances is potentially AI music that, you know, was on YouTube. So they must have licensed it for whatever amount of money that costs. And yeah, so people are very much not happy with that. It's not a huge surprise because they've, you know, worked with the with Disney for that Darth Vader season, the Star Wars season, where they had a Darth Vader on the map that was basically using the large language model stuff to react to people talking to them, which then so many people, some people managed to get him to start saying bigoted stuff, and that shut that whole thing down as they fixed it. And then that just disappeared. So not the first time they've dealt with AI and all that. But yeah, this stuff is like, man, you employ so many people. There's no reason to be not you make art for this, for these billboards and such. So yeah, just disappointing. But yeah, that's that was fun while it lasted. And now I'm pretty much done bothering with it. So there's that, and that's been pretty much what I've been doing. So how about you, Brandon?
Yeah, well, as for me, I am also still playing Power Wash Simulator 2. I'm currently on the part where I'm cleaning off the theater sets in the theater on the stage, which is a... Again, it's one of the, like, a handful of levels in this game where the length of the actual job is kind of deceptive, because there's a bunch of sets that you have to clean, and you don't really know that until you end up cleaning the first one, and then you have to change them, and then they change up. The good thing is, if you go ahead and get and clean off all the stuff that isn't the sets, like, you know, the ceiling and the stage floors and all that stuff, the walls and everything, and the ceiling beams and all that stuff, it's, you know, you don't have to worry about it for the rest of the level. But, yeah, I'm still sort of towards the end of that one, and I believe after that I've only got, like, a couple of more jobs before the game is actually finished. But, yeah, again, just like with the first one, really love that game. A lot of fun. Even the parts that I typically, you know, I didn't like about the first one with the interior jobs. You know, there's a few of those in this game, too. But, you know, they made enough improvements to the game overall, especially with the equipment involved, that it's not as much of a slog as it was the first time around. And, you know, it's just a really fun game, and I, you know, really relaxing, and I, honestly, I can't wait for Power Wash Simulator 3, which, you know, they're already working on. But, on top of that, I'm also, started playing, a, first-person survival horror game called Still Wakes Deep, where you were playing a Scottish gentleman named Kaz in the mid-70s working on a oil rig that's just off the coast of Scotland. And you are essentially working there because you got in a fight with someone that ended up with the person you fought getting hurt fairly badly. And so you end up making a run for it and getting a job offshore on this oil rig to work as an electrician, because otherwise you're probably going to get picked up by the police and will end up getting assault charges and end up spending some jail time. So you're basically just kind of running away from your problems. And it's an interesting game because as the game starts off, they try to sort of put you into like the time period that this game takes place in, because in the mid-70s, was just when the major petroleum companies were starting to exploit the oil reserves that are around Scotland. And there's this huge debate that's going on of, like, you know, should it solely, you know, belong to the nation of Scotland itself, or should it belong to, the Commonwealth in general. There's a lot of talk about, if they don't use it now, it's going to get sucked up by all the guys in Westminster and all that. But yeah, and it's like there's it, you're the whole story basically is, you're working on it. You wake up in the morning, you go to the breakfast to the guy Roy, who works at the canteen, who's kind of the guy who helped you get the job, and you end up getting called up to the guy to the headmaster's office. Go up to his place. He basically chews you out and says you're fired. You get ready to go to the evac helicopter. And then the drill that the oil rig is working on ends up hitting something that starts slowly turning everything into glowy meat moss. And now you're trying to basically, find survivors, sort of navigate this increasingly derelict oil rig and hopefully survive to make it to the end. It is a very good looking game. It's very pretty. Though I will say, there are definitely parts in it where you can tell that this was originally a game that was made for the PC, because there were parts where, like, even my PS5 was like struggling to maintain the frame rate in a couple of parts. Otherwise, though, pretty good game. I think it came out like last year. Yeah, it's definitely worth playing at least once, I think. And I've also started poking around in Black Baldur's Gate 3 again, because it's just something I felt like it was time to do again. But yeah, that's basically what I've been doing. So Dan Reb, what about you?
There isn't much I can talk about yet, but I can finally talk about one thing. One game that I've been playing is Marvel Cosmic Invasion. This is the latest from Dodemu and Tribute Games. For those of you that don't remember Tribute Games, they are the ones that did TMNT Shredder's Revenge, which was absolutely fantastic. I remember top 10ing that one the year that came out. And I would not be surprised to see Marvel Cosmic Invasion eventually end up on my top 10 list for this year. It is a very polished side-scrolling action game. I know a lot of people will liken it to X-Men on the Genesis and the arcade. Unfortunately, I've never been much of an X-Men guy, but I will say that the X-Men that you can use in Marvel Cosmic Invasion have been incredibly fun to use. The two that are on the immediate roster are Storm and Wolverine, and they play just about how you'd expect. Obviously, Wolverine with the adamantine claws does some nice damage combos. He's probably the one character I've had like the highest combo with. Storm is awesome. Her special has just set the entire map in lightning, which is pretty awesome. But yeah, I forget whether the game is three or four players, but I am when I played it, I did play with my girlfriend, so it's been pretty fun there. I've only been able to use a handful of characters so far. So what really sets this game apart from other side-scrolling beat 'em ups is the fact that you actually use two heroes. So at any time during play, you can go ahead and tag your character out, much like you would in a fighting game. And in addition to tagging, you can also use assist moves. So for example, if you are, playing with two players, you really have four heroes in the map. If you're playing with three players, you'll have six. And all of that ends up with a whole lot of havoc. And luckily, I have not seen any slowdown to frame rate with any of the gameplay that I've seen. I'm only about like five stages in, and I'll definitely go into more length at our review. By the time this podcast comes out, I'll already have reviewed the game, so I'll definitely say more next week. But yeah, it's been really solid so far. Another of my favorite care oh let me just go ahead and go back and talk about like how each character plays. So I did mention that it does have sort of a tag fighter feel, but at the end of the day, like it's just really fluid, seeing all the action available so far. I mentioned using Wolverine, and I mentioned using Storm. I've also used Spider-Man. One thing that you can do is if you jump, characters that can fly will go ahead and float in the air. So obviously you can do that with characters like Storm. But with Spider-Man, obviously you'll be swinging around. So that one's pretty awesome. You also have Rocket Raccoon, who primarily relies on guns. You have She-Hulk, who's pretty much a tank. There's Phi Lavelle, who also has some pretty fun projectile moves. Captain America is also pretty fun. With Captain America, he has his shield, obviously. So Just hitting him with projectiles doesn't really work because he's always holding his shield at all times, and he can also use his shield as you know as a projectile just by pressing the triangle button. The triangle button or the upper button on any other platform is pretty much your special combo move, and then when you press R1, that'll pretty much be your finisher, which you can also continue to load up on your special gauge. So yeah. All of that has been pretty solid so far, and with the maps that I have played, they have been pretty short. They're pretty typical from what you'd expect. You pretty much have to rid the playing field of enemies and before you can go on to the next screen, things like that. And eventually you get to the end boss. The bosses we've played so far were pretty fun. I've only died like one time so far, and that was just because like I didn't expect a bunch of things that were coming in. This is one of those games where zero is not a life. So when you bring your life down to zero, don't expect another one. It'll game over from there. And there are no checkpoints with the levels because they're all pretty short. But yeah, Marvel Cosmic Invasion is available on pretty much everything, and I totally recommend it. And then yeah, as for the rest, I'm still playing some Madden. Our first season of our franchise ended today. And yeah, I finished 3-13 or 3-14. Didn't do too well, but hopefully we can do better next season. But yeah, that's been about it for me.
All right. Yeah, let's get to some news. And we got some subscription news here. We got PlayStation Plus's potential lineup for the monthly games is out, and they've kind of gone the road of adding a bunch of games for this month. So the usual three, it's five. These will be available on Tuesday. Their big one here is LEGO Horizon Adventures. Which seems like a good time to offer that game because, one, I don't think that game has sold all that well. And also, for December, that's probably a pretty good time to play a good co-op game with the kids and all that. So that's a fun one. I'm interested in checking that one out. Yeah, that's for the PS5. Also for the PS5, Killing Floor 3. Same stuff here as far as it's a game that's had issues from the launch. I think people that were fans of the previous games not as thrilled by the attempt to, evolve this into a sequel. I don't think it's gotten that much of a great reception, but it's a game you can play with friends or strangers and kill zombies and all that and grind out all that stuff. So that seems like a solid choice. And also in the co-op space, the Outlast Trials for PS5 and PS4. This is the newest game in that franchise that is basically a game that you can either play solo or with up to three other players. That you are kind of test subjects of sorts, trying to get through these like missions and avoiding enemies and hiding from them and all that stuff, much like the Outlast games, but with some more going on here because it's co-op. So if you're into that kind of stuff, that seems like another solid choice. Then let's see, here for the PS5, Sin Duality, Echo of Ada, which I forgot what kind of game this is. This is a an extraction shooter, with what you would expect from Bandai Namco as far as like a anime style and all that, but with like mechs and a bunch of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm curious about checking that one out, because that at least sounds interesting. For that, multiplayer, PvPv, although I'm not sure how many people go into a match, but that stuff is that genre is starting to get big. This one has not, I don't think, has done all that much, done all that well, but maybe this is what it needs to get pushed over the edge. And the last one is a fantastic game for PS5 and PS4. It's Neon White. The first person action game leaderboard kind of challenge game, where you're trying to beat these stages initially and then You can try to rise up the leaderboards and find ways of using all of its mechanics to get through them as fast as possible and, you know, meet friends and strangers and all that stuff. So, and between matches, you get a little bit of social link style stuff going on as you hang out with other people and bring them gifts and push the story forward a little bit. For that, yeah, really fun game. So a good chance of playing that out. So yeah, a neat selection of games, and especially a bunch of stuff here that you can play with or against friends in an interesting way. So yeah, there you go.
I got a pretty good selection this month.
Yeah, it's a really solid selection. Obviously, I have nothing but good things to say about Stray. I know that one's like leaving and not really something new, but yeah, that one's a really fun one. Horizon Adventures or Lego Adventures is a game that I bought during Black Friday last year and did not open. So kind of sucks seeing it here, but at the end of the day, that's my fault.
So yeah, some good games there to check out. Let's see, for Nintendo Switch Online, they've gotten two new Game Boy games and two new NES games. For the NES, they have let's see, Ninja Gaiden 2, The Dark Sword of Chaos, which is pretty good. I played all these just to check them out, and Ninja Gaiden 2 is like probably a little more improved version of the first game. With a little less of the bullshit, there's still plenty of it. It has like a very particular way that it controls, and you can't just climb up walls and up to the ledge that they're on. You kind of have to get to a wall that's across from where you need to go. That's kind of a really tricky way that it works, but it also has very specific kind of enemy spawn triggers. In a way that I think the first game was just ridiculous with that stuff. This is a little bit better, but still has areas where you can kind of go back and forth in the right way and kind of swarm yourself with enemies. It still has plenty of like small enemies that are a little bit annoying to fight and all that. And a game that's even worse at a lot of that stuff, Battletoads.
Battletoads is like the epitome of Nintendo hard.
Yeah,
Like
it is a game that's changing things up every so often in a nice way, but then what it's doing from screen to screen almost is finding as many ways to throw in cheap enemies and obstacles and such that will get you killed.
Yeah. And it just gets worse and worse the further you get in the game. Like the game is notoriously hard, like to the point that it can get almost unplayable. And like there's that one level, even like because Rare put out that collection of games back for the a couple generations back, and they had Battletoads on there, and what they did is that they gave you can pause, you can rewind, all that stuff, save states, all of that, and even then it still was almost impossible to complete it because some of those later levels are like specifically designed to piss you off. Especially that one like race level where there's like the like rat minion that you're trying to race to like the top of this building or whatever, and it's like it's almost impossible because he is designed to be completely immaculate, and it's yeah, just
It's a game where I think it's better in modern forms of like Rare Replay and here on the Nintendo Switch Online, where you have save states and rewind. Because you can, more easily see what bullshit you've died from, rewind, and then try to avoid it and try to learn it versus the way you would have played it normally, which is you die from it, you restart from wherever the checkpoint is, work your way up, probably die before you even get back to it because it's all kind of a crapshoot. And you kind of just don't have the opportunity to retry these challenging areas over and over again so easily.
Yeah, I was going to say that my lone experience with Battletoads was playing it on Rare Replay, and even though I had it on God mode, I still gave up. So I go to say there, but I did have fun with it, when I wasn't like hurting myself playing it. But at the end of the
Yeah.
day, it's like it's still a fun part of history. I don't think anybody can go back and say, "Man, like this one was great," just because I doubt that they probably beat it. But it is what it is with that one. But looking at what Nintendo released here as a whole. A lot of the stuff is hard, so I guess that's the name of the game for this one. But it's a pretty cool reset, nonetheless.
Yeah, for Game Boy they added two games. There's Bionic Commando, which is a really fun, it's a fun version of the NES game where you're moving around on this map, across towards the end of it, and you have to kind of specifically like look for items that you need to get further into the game. You start with some basic stuff that'll get you to a few of these areas. But some areas you kind of have to work for it. And it plays pretty well here on the Game Boy. And all that, but also you have, save states and rewind for some of its tougher moments. This is also one of those games that really shows how bad the pro controllers are, because they do not handle well on D-pad stuff or specifics, and Bionic Commando is one of those that really requires it, because you do your grappling hook, diagonally without any input, left or right, and you'll grapple to the left or right, usually to grab items, and you have to hold it up to grab the ledge above you, to pull yourself up. It doesn't have a jump, so it's not really a platformer, and all that. And yeah, I was playing with my pro controller too, and I was like, yeah, this is getting a lot of false inputs on it in a way that was just pretty. But everything else is still pretty fun there. And there's Kid Icarus of Myths and Monsters, which I would say is better than the NES game, because I feel like it has less mindless wandering, but they're still wandering around. Because I felt like I was, when I was playing it, I was progressing, but I didn't feel like I was progressing. I was just wandering around and getting to these rooms, and sometimes it's like, oh, I need this specific item here. I'm like, oh, I don't have that. Leave, and the door's locked. And so I was like, oh, that was my one chance, I guess. And you kind of work through all these rooms, and some of them have a little challenge too. And there's one that's like, oh, here's these things to break. And then if you do it in the, you find the bad one and don't break that last, it kills you. But then obviously you can just rewind and be like, well, I'll avoid that one then and get all the others. But on the main stage, there's really not much in the way of enemies spawning in any sort of unfair way. You just find like these little upside down vases that spawn snakes, which are easy to kill, and occasionally have some flying enemies, and you can rewind if you do run into them, but otherwise they're all pretty easy. You're just kind of collecting these hearts as your like currency, and just kind of wandering around through each of the rooms, and then eventually make it to the next area. Kind of thing. It felt like just kind of a game that just kind of meanders through it, and you're just like, oh, well, just look for other rooms that I haven't been to, and all that. Otherwise, you just kind of keep progressing, and it was like, all right, this is at least more pleasant than the original Kid Icarus, because that one's just like, boy, I have no clue what I'm doing there. You just kind of do things and eventually give up, because it's kind of like tougher to get through. The enemies are tougher. And there's also just the lack of direction. It's like one of those NES games that seems like it should have been a bigger deal, but also you play and you're like, oh, I see why this wasn't that big of a deal. Why they kind of didn't really make any more of these games until the 3DS game, which then had its own weird control setup that made it something that not everybody wanted to play. So yeah, it's like, yeah, if you're complaining that, there aren't more Kid Icarus games, it's like, because none of them are really all that amazing and accessible. They're just kind of like games that were existed to be played, and it didn't do all that much to make it interesting, I think.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a not a great thing. But yeah, that's your lineup for this month, and I guess we're gonna have a month with no GameCube games, because they had a Luigi's Mansion on October 30th, I think, last month, and yeah, there's been nothing on the on that front. I'm sure they're gonna act like, oh, that came out at the end of the month, so it's almost as good as a November game, and it's like, yeah, and you're not exactly having a ton of those games to add to the service. You only announced, I think, there's like two Pokemon games that have been announced, and I think that's about it. There's maybe one more game that I'm forgetting, but there's really not that much that they've announced for that stuff. So yeah, what we need is more those games to come out and to have more added, because there's still plenty of Nintendo stuff to add. But yeah, that's kind of their offerings at the moment for that. Let's see here. Yeah, we got a demo for There Are No Ghosts at the Grand. I think this was at one of the Xbox showcases last year. That looked really interesting, and so you can check that out. It's on Steam right now, so no Xbox version of it yet, but it looks like a really interesting game. You inherit a crumbling English hotel and restore it by day while battling. You have like a cat that helps you out. There's a talking power tool and a twisting supernatural plot, so a little bit of musical mystery narrative adventures there, so that kind of sounds neat for that. So yeah, that's one you can check out. It'll be out next year at some point for Xbox and PC. Game Pass is one. Check that one out. Let's see, the other game that's out this week is Co-op announced a new game for them called Young Sons. It's the devs that made
Goodbye Volcano High.
This is a new one, though instead of that being on PS5 and PC, this is on Xbox and PC and is on Game Pass right now in their game preview program for early access stuff. But it's not on Steam. But that being kind of Steam's thing is early access. It's exclusive to the Xbox and the Microsoft Store PC right now for $20 or on Game Pass. It seems like a life sim game that you can play with up to four people with a bunch of characters to interact with and help them out and all that, which looks really nice, but I'm not going to buy it on Xbox or anything.
Yeah.
And especially my Game Pass has run out as of today, so that's been a good chunk of today deleting all the Game Pass games and freed up like 1.4 terabytes of space. So I'm in the middle of downloading a bunch of shit I had for that, and it's like, all right, I'll wait until this maybe comes to Steam, maybe other platforms. I don't know. But kind of interesting that they have a full like exclusive for the Xbox and Xbox PC platforms. So there you go. If you want a new one of those, that looks really nice.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, Goodbye Volcano High is pretty good. So yeah. The other one's Gay Story. I still got to be convinced on that one.
We also got Skate Story is out on December 8th, and we found out that it's going to be on the PS Plus game catalog at launch for extra and premium members, which looks really interesting. That's the new Devolver Digital game with developer Sam Eng. That is kind of, well, I'll read this description right here just so you kind of get what's going on. You are a demon in the underworld made out of glass and pain. The devil has given you a skateboard with a simple deal: skate to the moon and swallow it, and you shall be free. Which obviously explains everything you need to know about that. It has a really cool look to it. I'm curious to check it out.
Obviously, yeah, it does look good.
Down for that, so that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already like on PS Plus, so I'll already be able to play this when it comes out, but. It looks nice, but I'm going to have to, like, actually, see what others think and how it plays before I'm willing to invest in it.
Yeah, it seems like it should be, they have a bunch of tricks in this. They say there's 70 skate tricks. to progress and improve. So I think as you do them more and probably do them better, you can improve them, make them easier to do, and get new tricks and gear and all that. So it really sounds interesting. But yeah, there you go.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff for releases. I never heard about co-op, and Goodbye Volcano High is a game that I've had my eye on, and I didn't realize that was also out. So yeah, that shows how behind I am as far as stuff like that. Don't know what to think about that one. And then Skate Story definitely does look cool. The main reason why I'm wary is because like I think a lot of skateboarding indie things look cool, and they end up like not hitting. Skatebird, I'm looking at you. But yeah. I think that's a Devolver game, right? So that's definitely one reason to look forward to, because they normally put their name on some heat. But yeah, I am wary of that.
So yeah, there you go. That'll be out next week. Let's see. Also, we messed up this well. There we go. Okay, so yeah, we found out that the Yakuza Zero Director's Cut will be getting an actual upgrade for people that owned it before. Own Yakuza Zero so that you can get this new one without paying the full $50 for it. For the new stuff that has been added, which is really not all that much. Yeah, it adds, let's see, new cutscenes. Yeah, there's a new multiplayer mode that, from what I've heard, on the Switch 2 is not well populated. English dub and support for more text languages for that. So yeah, they've announced that for the upgrade offer, if you have the digital version on PS4, Xbox One, or Steam before December 8th at, what is it, 8:30 Pacific time, or no, this, I think it's 9 a.m. Pacific time, 12 p.m. Eastern time, you can upgrade for $15 to the, the successor platform for whatever version you have, which is, 70% discount on the full price, which is good. They do have this legalese here that's like discount only applicable from, PS4 to PS5, Xbox One to Xbox Series X and S, and Steam to Steam versions. Save data does not carry over, and it does not apply to versions on subscription services or physical versions of Yakuza. So if you have the disc version of Yakuza Zero, too bad. Also, these games are all getting delisted at the time that they're mentioning here, on December 8th. So when the new versions launch, these will be replacing them, which is weird because it's like Yakuza Zero is on PS4. There's no reason to take away the PS4 version for that. Maybe I have that wrong on there. The team put out a statement about that. That might also have been some legalese that I misinterpreted. But Kiwami has the same thing here for that, for the upgrades, same time and all that. Same limits here, but the price for PS5 or Xbox is $199, which is 90% off the normal price of that game, $20. Same issues, only to the same, platform families, and does not apply to subscription versions or physical versions of that. In Kiwami 2, they're just making a free upgrade, so that's the best one here. But also, yeah, those weren't highly regarded versions. They're just like, yeah, this is Yakuza 1 and 2, which are good, but also they get much better with, like 3, 4, 5, and all that, and 0. And yeah, same issue. No, does not apply to the subscription versions or the physical version of Yakuza Kiwami 2 for that. So I was looking like discounts for these. And on the consoles, I don't think any of these are on sale, but there are discounts on some of the bundles for them, which is pretty decent. I'm trying to look where I wrote those down elsewhere. Let me see. Yeah, here it is. Yeah, the it is. There's the bundle of 1 and 2, Kiwami 1 and 2, that you can get for a little bit of a discount, $23.99, 20% off. Called the starter pack. Doesn't include Yakuza Zero. If you want all of them, there's the complete series pack of 0 through 6 that is on sale for $71.49 or 35% off. You get 7 games there, which is a pretty decent discount there. But yeah, Yakuza Zero, if you don't have that, you'll just have to standalone buy it for $20 and then you upgrade, so that's $15 off essentially. Which isn't too bad of a discount. But they, I believe, have taken down bundles, I think, of the all three of these games at a certain point. So that's like a little disappointing there. But I believe they're also going to be re-uploading versions of those bundles with the new games in them. Yeah, they mentioned here in their delisting thing. Yakuza Zero Director's Cut will replace Yakuza Zero and the Yakuza Complete Series digital bundle. Those would get the, let's see. Yeah, those would get Yakuza Zero by, okay, it must be 8:30 then. 8:30 a.m. Pacific time on December 8th. Can continue to download play the title, but it'll be removed from PS4, Xbox One, and Steam, which is kind of the dumb thing because, if you don't have a PS5, then you're just getting a game taken away. Same for Xbox One. And obviously, Steam is just Steam. So it's like, I don't know, if you get a bundle of both for that price, I'm like, sure. But just taking it away just seemed for all this. And it's Sega continuing to be weird about this, but they're at least offering an upgrade path, which they typically have not for a lot of these like complete editions, especially for the Atlas stuff. So yeah, that's kind of the unfortunate thing there, but at least you know ahead of time, so you got a week or so to think about whether you're gonna buy this stuff if you didn't already have it. At least there's some options for discounts there. So yeah, there's your Yakuza breakdown.
Yeah, the interesting thing here is, it is pretty cool to go ahead and have those upgrade paths, but just talking about the Yakuza community in general, this doesn't really affect too many people. One, because they probably already had it. Two, a big portion that already had it did have the physical version, which this unfortunately does not affect. And like three, it's like if you've already beaten these games and you are affected, there's really no reason to go back to them. Obviously, they're doing that with Yakuza Kiwami 3, which is not a part of this because 3 was not Kiwami'd yet, and that's going to be a big release come the beginning of year next year. So yeah, like this really only affects the people who have bought this in advance, hoping to try to catch up. Namely players like me who have only played the Ichiban ones and then a few of the Kiryu ones. Like that's where it remains interesting. But at the same time, like added language support and a few cutscenes here and there, it really shouldn't affect too many people. But at the end of the day, yeah, it is kind of weird. And it is pretty cool that they have the upgrade path, but at the end of the day, it's like probably should have just upgraded the game with these things. They don't really add too much value, but it is what it is here. With Zero, though, it does make a little bit of sense, primarily because that version of the game was only on Switch 2 for the longest period of time. And if you were starting the series over or starting it fresh at this point, it is kind of weird for the Switch 2 version to be like your starting point. So this kind of puts them back into that mindset, so.
So yeah, a little bit weird, but at least there's an option there for those that want it. But yeah, let's see. We got oh yeah, this game has been in early access on Steam for a good bit here. It is finally coming out of early access to hit 1.0. The coin game, which is going to be releasing early next year for PS5, Xbox, and PC. It's been a pretty well regarded sort of like arcade simulation game
Yeah,
of sorts, where
basically.
you're just kind of a dude, or I guess maybe like an egg from what the art they have for this shows. You don't really see yourself doing any of this, but you're just running up to these arcade machines in this arcade, and playing the games, earning, coins from them, and spending them on little, I think, cosmetic stuff. you can wear and all that. But you can also run outside the arcade and
There's
beat
like a
up
whole
or like
town and
vandal.
everything.
Yeah, be like a vandal or find ways to make some money or something. So yeah, it's kind of a neat thing here, and neat that it's going to become the consoles as well. Because yeah, that sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, it is. I think I saw like the Game Grumps do this like an early access form of this a couple years ago, and they were completely shocked at just the sheer amount of content that there was outside of the arcade stuff, because it's not just the arcades, it's like a whole city, and you're doing like a bunch of like roaming around the city, messing with stuff, trying to find ways to make money. And you're basically like all the other people in this city literally are just these little egg-shaped robots. And yeah, it's a surprisingly deep game.
Yeah, and from what we can see, they have a water park, mini golf, and RC boat racing at the Pirates, whatever theme park or whatever it is. Traveling carnival with more stuff there. Yeah, a bunch of different things to do, and that sounds kind of neat, especially as you can play with friends, I think. So yeah, that sounds, I know that might just be single player. For this one, but you have leaderboards, so I guess compete against your friends. But yeah, that sounds neat. So yeah, that'll be out early next year. And yeah, let's see here. We also, yeah, kind of getting into some more of the industry news. This game, Wild Blue, very much a let's say Star Fox clone.
Well, it's very much a Star Fox 64 clone specifically.
Yeah. From developer Chuhai Labs, who's made a bunch of fun games, have essentially announced that they are changing the name to Wild Blue Skies, and put out a new gameplay video to show it off, what the game looks like now these days, which is looking pretty good for that. So yeah, I guess still going to be out next year at some point. So still got some time to waste. Wait. But yeah, it's still just PC at the moment. I'm sure it'll be on consoles at some point. But yeah, other than that, that's cool. Looking forward to this game. And yeah, hopefully not too much.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to this, 'cause I mean, if I remember correctly, they got like the guy who did, I think it was called like Star Glider or whatever, that was like the prototype for Star Fox, is like involved in this game. So yeah, definitely looking forward to this one.
Yeah. So yeah, we got that to look forward to. We'll get to a little bit of TV news here. Ubisoft's most positive bit of news in the past few months here is that they have a new show coming to FX for the Far Cry series. It's going to be coming to Hulu and I think Disney Plus internationally. If you have Hulu and Disney Plus, you can watch it on Disney Plus. And yeah, they mentioned it's going to be like an anthology series, so that if it gets to a second season, it'll use a new cast and all that. Sort of how like the games don't really carry over characters or anything between them. And yeah, the heads of this show is Noah Hawley, who most recently had Alien Earth come out. Also was the creator of Fargo for FX, and Rob Mack, who's the creator of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and has done some other stuff there. And so yeah, I guess Rob Mack will also be in the show in a starring role for this first season. So yeah, not really too much to add on this, but certainly could work, especially on a seasonal basis. Though there's essentially like five games, four or five games to adapt for this, so it doesn't seem like it's gonna be one that, if it does really well, will go super long. If they pace it well, it should be a pretty good time. I don't know. This is a series where the protagonists are never really all that well developed. It's mostly just a filler for the player. And it's the villain characters and side characters that help you out on that and make carry the whole weight of the game and the story.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see how that does in a show.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea if this is going to follow any of the Far Cry games. Granted, I've only played six for reasons. But yeah, like you guys said, like there isn't really a whole lot of depth to any protagonist in the game. So whether or not they decide to follow the games or just build their own story, there's reason to believe that this should be a hit. I mean, I think that even if you didn't know what Far Cry was, or as a gaming series, and you decide to watch this, depending on how the storytelling or the writing goes, it could definitely be something to look out for, especially on a network like FX, where they normally put out bangers to begin with. This could be pretty cool. And I'm a little late to this, but Wild Blue looks awesome, and I look forward to playing that game.
Yeah. So yeah, there's that. Speaking of, actors and such, Udo Kier passed away earlier this week, unfortunately, but managed to get to 81. Was a big part of the movie industry as a character actor and all that. It's very much a person that you see what he looks like. You probably remember a couple things he's been in.
Oh, yeah.
And on the game side, he's been in, a couple of Command and Conquer games, and a few other things, but was going to be in the new Kojima Productions game, OD. That was one of the three headliners. On that, let's see if they have who the other ones were. Part of that, Hunter Schafer and Sophia Lillis were also going to be the headliners as part of that, and unfortunately, it seems like he did not really get to do much for this. So yeah, that was a game that got delayed to at least next year, at least for the filming stuff they were going to do for performance capture and all that. And then unfortunately, he did not make the cut into this, so I assume he'll get replaced with somebody else. But Kojima did post a message about losing a big actor like this, and especially someone that he had been working with to, schedule when he would come in and work on the new game and do all that. So unfortunate, but yeah, I'm sure he'll find somebody that'll provide a good performance for this game. But yeah, there you go.
Yeah, sad, but when you're using real actors, that's always a risk that you end up pulling.
Yeah, especially when
So.
you make one of them an 81-year-old actor, and have delays and all that. So yeah, that is sad, but yeah, he'll deal with it. We got some more news here. Indie developer Santa Region, I have no clue how to pronounce that. They make a bunch of small games, and they were working on one coming out later this week, I think it is. I think it's on the fourth? No, the second. Okay. The second. It was going to come to Steam and a bunch of the other PC storefronts. But I guess some point in 2023, they had Valve essentially tell them they're not going to be able to ship the game on Steam, and sort of got a little follow up with a little bit of an idea of what the issues were. I guess there's this game called Horses that I guess part of the premise of this is that the people ride the horses, but the horses are also adults with like a big, horse head mask on kind of thing. Be a very weird like horror game. They had a segment that I guess a kid was involved in, a child character, and that's a very much a weird thing, especially weird that Valve is very concerned about this in a way that they seem to not be as communicative about what the issues were. And so the studio, did some work to make some changes to it, and we're hoping to represent it to them. And they seem to still continue to not want to have it on their service, on their
Yeah.
platform. And so as a result, it seems like the developers are concerned that they may end up folding if this game doesn't do well. As a
Yeah.
result, it will be on Epic Game Store, GOG, itch.io, and Humble Store for $4.99, so a pretty cheap game. Which, yeah, it's not surprising that there are lines for Steam. It just seems so rare that they get applied for
Yeah.
anything, considering you can. I was looking at the Steam storefront because I saw that there's a Black Friday sale going on. I scroll down to like the new stuff, and like half of the top 10, whatever new and trending they list was like sex games. I was like, this is very
Wonderful.
interesting where their lines are for this kind of stuff, where I can get potential like sex scenes or horror stuff involving children kind of thing. I don't think it's the context of the way that that's done in horses is anyway really all that concerning, but the Valve very much has this hardline stance here for this one game seems interesting, especially knowing that they are a very libertarian company. That they tend to be a believer in free markets, but that's not what they're doing here for this game. So yeah, makes a really interesting stance they're taking, and kind of notable because every other one is like, yeah, we'll have this thing, we'll offer it for $4.99. Feel free to come
Yeah.
over and buy it, and enjoy it. And you can buy it on GOG, and I think Humble Store at least that will get you, I think, a DRM free version of it, maybe itch as well, that then you can put on Steam to play it through your Steam launcher. So it's actually getting to a roundabout way of doing that. But yeah, I got weird situation and unfortunate. So hopefully the devs don't end up having to shut down if this kind of puts a huge I don't know limit on the potential for sales on this thing. But
Yeah.
also this story has gone pretty big, so hopefully
Yep.
people that are interested in it see this and support it. But yeah, there you go. If you have anything to add, Brandon.
No, it's just I get, having like it's where it's like they don't want to take any chances because of the involvement of like a child character or anything. But it is really odd that a situation like this manages to get this much publicity. The last time I remember this happening was with Hatred some years ago, and obviously that game ended up kind of being kind of blah anyway.
Yeah, I'm gonna see because I thought I read that they got lit on Steam anyway later on.
Yeah, it did because Gabe Newell himself intervened.
Yeah,
So.
which that's interesting, especially in light of this, because that was a game that's just like very, say nuance free. Kind of here's a guy that is looking to commit a serial killing,
Yeah,
and.
basically.
And really, no nuance or like message to it. Just seemed like wanted to create a game where you're just mowing down people in a very dark, kind of
Yeah.
dreary kind of. That was kind of the end of it. And
Yeah. I don't think I don't I we haven't heard anything from that developer since either, so.
yeah, and it's like, yeah, we heard all the controversy, and I guess it's still available technically, but it really has not made too much of a dent on anything. But also hearing that like that still made it through despite that, and it's like, yeah, I'm sure you can look through a bunch of Steam games and see a bunch of weird shit that might be on the level of this, and you're wondering like, well, how did that make? Because I don't know what changed in 2023 or before that, because it's not really related to the MasterCard and Visa stuff, because this was 2 years ago. So like, what was going on then that this was such an issue for them? But the various like sex with Hitler games and all that are still free to sell on Steam.
Yep.
Where you think like, that's a line we don't want to cross. That's just where things are at. So yeah, there you go. For that, the weird Steam. But yeah, let's get to some more news. Some more kind of businessy news. Seems like Paradox Interactive is taking a write down on a bunch of money here. What does it say here? About 355 million SEK. I don't know which currency that is, but it's about $37.4 million US. That is because the Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 has not sold well, which is not too much of a surprise considering that one, I don't think they've really marketed all that much. And two, it's been in development for so long. I'm sure the costs have far exceeded what they could have done with this in, you know, when the current version was started being made. If you took the cost of that, maybe it got closer to break even. But yeah, this seems like it just did not sell very well. And so they're basically like, yeah, we're just going to take it on the chin here. And they said they're still going to release the two expansions they've already announced. But that might end up being just it for the game. Not really work on too much more unless they somehow, as it starts going on sale, start just selling through the roof. But otherwise, it seems like this will be it for this game. Just kind of a quiet end for a game that's been in development for going on 6-7 years publicly that we've known about it. So yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely an unfortunate story. I, for one, you know, I don't mean to like talk ish about it, but like, I don't understand why this was as popular as it was. I'm definitely not in that wheelhouse. So at the same time, with all the hype that it got from both developers and gamers in general, including the media, like I thought it would like amount to a bit more. So this does come as a bit of a surprise because, you know, just because something isn't for me doesn't mean it's not going to succeed. So I thought this would be there, but unfortunately it's not.
Yeah, the previous game was just a really well-regarded game for early 2000s PC gaming as far as the RPG mechanics and all that. As you might expect for a game that I think is a European made game, had a lot of bugs and jankiness to it, so much that, you know, since development stopped on that, there's fan patches that make it a better experience to play, especially on modern PCs compared to, you know, XP 20 years ago. And all that. So it became kind of a cult hit of sorts that as a property that's based on, you know, a tabletop game. So
yeah,
it's kind of just grown from that property. But this was always like, here's that very cool game that a lot of people like. But always comes with a caveat that it's like maybe not the easiest thing to get into. But very much like what you would expect out of like a System Shock kind of thing, where it didn't sell incredibly well, but was really well regarded. And all that's as they're trying to make new ones of those, it's very much like, well, how much are you going to change to make it more like a modern game, which is what they ended up doing, because as you know, instead of the classic PC style, I think point system you would put your points into, like the new one has like a skill tree, like every other game kind of thing. It has a little more focus on action versus the RPG mechanics. Though still has some of that, but yeah. And one of those things was like, yeah, I see why this didn't do that well. The hardcore audience will either just buy it to get their curiosity over with, or they just won't buy it because they see how it turned out. And it's like, this isn't what I wanted, so why support it? So they'll probably buy it when it gets cheaper, much cheaper.
Yeah.
Just be like, all right, well, what is this? And be like, oh, this is neat. Shame they're not making any more. I also don't think it was a game that was ever going to do incredibly well. So.
Yeah. I'm afraid not. Like, the game had been through development hell for so long and gone through so many hands by that point that, you know, well, it just, it, there was really no way it was going to come out looking good.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of the story of that. But yeah, we got a couple more stories here. Nintendo has announced that they are acquiring Bandai Namco Studios Singapore and will rename them to Nintendo Studios Singapore. Essentially, they entered into a shared transfer agreement with Bandai Namco to acquire shares of the studio that most recently released Herogami, but also has been a support studio and a co-developer, I think working on Splatoon with the internal Nintendo team on some of that stuff. So that seems very much like they enjoy working with them and will acquire them so that they can keep working on this kind of stuff. Yeah, they plan to acquire 80% of Bandai Namco Studios Singapore shares on April 1st of next year, and then the remaining shares will be acquired after a certain period once everything is going smooth for them. So, yeah, Nintendo expanding the way that they tend to expand by buying studios they've worked with before.
Yeah, definitely an interesting move. Nintendo not primarily known for, making acquisitions, but this kind of acquisition, as Chris mentioned, is one that they do all the time, especially when it comes to companies they've worked with before. The reason why this comes at a little bit of a surprise for me is two reasons. One, I'm not all that fond of Herogami. It's a fine game, but that's really about it. I'm actually like behind on that review, but I'll get to that eventually. And yeah, as far as them being a support studio, I don't know if they've worked on anything more than Splatoon, but obviously Splatoon is a huge hit for them, so that's obviously a cool thing. The one part that it's interesting is like, those of you familiar with the ways of the world, Singapore is one of the richest areas in Asia in general. They're
Oh
really
yeah, like insanely rich.
yeah. Their real estate is like, beyond compare to just about anywhere else in that part of the world. So I wonder like how much this ended up being for Nintendo, because that just shows how aggressive they've been. But either way, it's a good move, and I don't think it's a bad point for either part of the spectrum here. Granted, sometimes acquisitions mean layoffs, but Nintendo has been pretty good with that aside from contractors. So.
So yeah. That seems like an interesting move. And they got the new one, Splatoon Raiders, so I'm sure those devs are already working on that. But yeah, there you go for that one. We got an update on the Rockstar news of them firing 34 developers back in October, relating to what they called gross misconduct that the people involved and the union they were working with or talking to IWGB has been like, this is a very clear case of union busting. And it seems like we've got more information here and saying that the saga actually started after Rockstar was cracking down on developers communicating about non-work topics in the company Slack.
This is the type of shit that really pisses me off because they basically like this is the like other companies have stuff like this and they do this shit too, where essentially they're policing what people can say, and it's just gross.
So basically they had some like non-work related channels on their Slack that people like to post in about, their pets or things they do in their off time and games they were playing. And what they called the Slack purge, prompted discussions in an outside union channel in Discord. It was then followed by another change preventing people from using emojis in their Slack statuses, which workers theorized was to prevent people from using the Palestinian flag or the sprout emoji that's used to symbolize union support. These emails were sent. They also had a whole thing blocking people from accessing their work emails outside of work hours and outside of their office. So union members in the channel, union channel on Discord, on their Discord was they would send these emails to the Discord so people outside of the office could see their contents and see what they were, what was happening. I was led to one member of the Discord expressing their concerns to management about the discussion, so somebody snitched on them, I guess. And so supposedly Rockstar gained access to the Discord at this point and read the previous chat logs to make a case for firing 34 workers by the end of that month. That's a fun whole thing here. Not letting people talk about, you know, the things they do in their off time.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of led to these 34 people getting fired. And yeah, very conveniently, it was part of a union channel, Discord channel. So that is a fun thing. And as the people involved in this mentioned, they did not discuss any confidential things. And more so, was only used for sharing the information laid out in the video here. The restrict policies against sharing confidential updates on internal projects like GTA 6. Their statement here for the IWGB. Obviously, we can't get in the middle, in the minds of Rockstar management to know what they were referring to when they referred to leaked information. Mm-hmm. They provided us with about as much or less information than they have put out in public statements. We confirm that the Discord was only used for discussing information related to organizing, such as decision to remove Slack channels and pay and bonuses, as the video mentions, and that there were strict policies about sharing confidential information. So I'm betting just seeing talk of pay and bonus stuff, that they probably thought, like, well, this is obviously confidential information because nobody should be talking about how much they're getting paid with other people.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. Ugh. A lot of companies do that shit. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah. It just seems like an unfortunate series of things started by, I'm guessing, people that at Rockstar management that were annoyed people were still posting in the Slack when they weren't actually working.
Mm-hmm.
Or wanted to talk while they were working and needed something else going on. Yeah. Like, oh, I'll check and say, like, oh, yeah, I was playing this. This is pretty cool. Or here's a picture of my cat kind of thing, which is all harmless shit that really no company should care about unless it starts getting political or heated or anything like that.
Which that wasn't the case, apparently.
Yeah.
It's just, golly.
So yeah.
Stupid shit.
There's your fun times there for Rockstar.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We also got some news from Embracer Group. They are divesting Arc Games and Cryptic Studios, which means that those two companies are essentially they're being divested to Project Golden Arc, a company owned and led by members of the Arc Games management team for $30 million. It's financed by Hong Kong-based publisher and developer XD. As part of this deal, Embracer Group will retain the publishing rights to the Remnant franchise, because Arc Games was the makers of the Remnant games, which were published by Arc Games. Rights will be transferred to Embracer Group, subsidiary THQ Nordic. It already owns the Remnant intellectual property rights and development studio Gunfire Games. Arc Games will remain listed as co-publisher for Remnant from the Ashes and Remnant 2. The rights to the multiplayer online game Fellowship will also be retained under the Coffee Stain banner. Our games will remain listed as co-publisher. So they're essentially moving these studios and like publisher out into their own thing to be owned by or financed by another publisher. But they will not retain rights to the games that they worked on. So either they'll continue working on those things for Embracer Group, just not as an owned entity, or they'll work on their own things. It seems like Embracer Group finding a way to take the essentially like the payroll of these studios, these companies off their books and putting it onto somebody else. Could be a bit more independent, but maybe still tied to them in some way, which is like, I was almost excited about this. Like, oh, I can play or get the Remnant games now that they're not owned by Embracer Group. And it's like, nope. So like, all right.
Afraid not.
Still continue ignoring them. So,
yep.
Yeah, there you go for that. Then the last one here, splash damage, has entered a consultation process that could likely lead to layoffs and maybe the shutdown of the whole studio.
Yeah.
And the way this all happened is pretty frustrating. So splash damage is a well-known and long-time studio that's been in England for a long time. They've worked on a lot of games over the years, yeah. Especially prolific for like multiplayer stuff. They've also worked on, you know, the Gears games, some of those side games they've done, and a bunch of other stuff. But yeah, on November 26th, they publicly announced online that the studio was entering a studio-wide consultation process that would involve all employees across roles and disciplines. Follows the London-based studio being acquired in September by a private equity investor after being sold by its previous owner, Tencent. So they got bought by a private equity investor, and maybe at some point they needed to make layoffs, and so now they're having to shed potentially a bunch of the studio to get to where state the private equity investor wants them to be. And maybe work on some new games. I don't know. But that is, they've been in a rough state as they had to cancel a Transformers game they were working on earlier this year and lay off some people. Yeah, they worked, their last shipped game was 2020's Outcasters for Stadia.
Mm-hmm.
So you just guess how well that went. So yeah, sad news, and potentially they might end up shutting down if they don't see a way to keep the studio afloat, you know, get a new project going that hopefully gets them back in some sort of good shape. So with the way private equity stuff tends to be, maybe they'll shed some of the roster and then get sold off for a bit of a premium.
Yeah.
To some other company that needs a new developer that can work on stuff. I seem like this could go either way. That's sad for a studio that's been around for, like it says here, 24 years now.
Yeah, what a shame, you know. Obviously, you want to hope for the best, but usually the more negative thing happens. But yeah, hopefully because they've been around for a while, they do find a way to make it work out. But this is also an opportunity for those in danger to just go ahead and start their job search. I would normally say it's good that they have advance notice, but at the same time, it's like, you know, they're also competing with everybody else looking for a job these days, and it's just tough.
Yeah. I don't know if you have anything to add, Brandon, there.
It's just sad. I mean, it's the state of the industry right now. You know, a bunch of studios getting dissolved, a bunch of consolidation. I hate it.
Yeah. So, I think it's going to end up doing it for the show this week. Bit of a bummer end there, but there's a lot of bummer news going on as we get to December, where all the best stuff obviously happens. Thank you to Brandon and Danner for joining this week.
Always.
We'll be back next week with a new slate of news, and we'll have some games to talk about. I know, let's see what's out this week. There's Metroid Prime 4 Beyond, which I pre-ordered because there was a discount on $100 of eShop credit for $80. Mm-hmm. I was like, I might as well get that because I'm going to pay about $80 for that game. Mm. I might as well get some extra eShop credit on top of that. Mm. So I ended up doing that and getting a pre-order in on that. So that's like 27 gigs on a Switch too, so it's not too bad compared to a lot of other stuff, but on the bigger side for the first party stuff. Because I think Mario Party is slightly bigger than that, like 31 gigs, something like that. Mm-hmm. But Mario Kart World. Sorry. So yeah, that's out. Octopath Traveler Zero is out this week.
Mm-hmm.
Let It Die Inferno is out this week, which just got revealed that it's using AI for stuff. That's also one you can toss off into the trash.
Mm-hmm.
Things to care about. It's also Blood Refreshed Supply, if you want your retro games. Night Dive worked on this as a Monolith Productions game from back in the day that's supposed to be available. So yeah, some decent amount of stuff here for this week to check out.
Yeah.
But yeah, Thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoy the show, for let friends and family know, they should check it out. And select strangers that are also excited for some games coming out here in December. It's not always a bunch of interesting stuff coming out in December, but this year Nintendo's got a big game, Square Enix has a big game, as well as the Yakuza stuff that's happening next week. But yeah, not really too much else. But yeah, still plenty of games that have been coming out and will be coming out. So yeah, plenty of things to check out and catch up on and whatnot. Bunch of sales going on. So yeah, thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good week ahead. We will see you all next time. Have a good one.
Bye.
See you guys.